Rusty Quill presents.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Previously on Planet Arcana.
Last time, we found ourselves at the Raptor Rallycross race starting line, where Celestine, Crater, and Simon prepared to face off against Reap and the boys to settle once and for all who is the fastest set of wheels in Lonestead. The drivers arrive one by one, showing off their custom-built vehicles, with old rivals Reap and Celestine trading the traditional pre-race trash talk. And then, they're off! The first stretch takes them through Vulture Valley, where Reap's boys get off to a promising start, pulling swiftly ahead of the pack. But Triple T is soon beset by the valley's eponymous carrion fowl, damaging his ride and forcing Dump Truck to assist her teammate rather than thwart the fools. Celestine swerves around the fray while Crater drives his massive bus-like vehicle directly into Reap. Celestine slows Reap's progress just before he crosses the first checkpoint, and Crater launches Reap back to the start of the race, forcing the boys to wait for Reap before continuing on to the next stage of the course. Crater and Simon pass the first checkpoint and head into Hoodoo Heights, weaving among the sandstone pillars and dodging landslides. But the commotion of the competition has attracted the attention of one Bylaw McGraw, who aims to be the pooper of this particular party. Our crew demonstrates their customary deference to authority, ignoring Bylaw entirely, as Celestine speeds past and Crater launches Simon out of danger before joining his friends at the next checkpoint. Reap and the boys try to cut into the crew's commanding lead. Triple T drives directly into Bylar McGraw to keep Reap in the clear, and Bylar returns the favor. When the dust settles, Triple T's car is severely damaged, and the fifth collide sees the death of yet another McGraw. Simon and Crater speed into the tangled undergrowth of the final stretch of the race. T-Rex Town, where massive dinosaurs attempt to wreck their vehicles. Meanwhile, Celestine finds himself in the mood for a little showboating and waits at the second checkpoint just long enough for Reap to catch up before engaging the special feature of his car to swap places with Simon, bringing our young Mr. Wanderoff within spitting distance of the finish line. Reap makes a respectable effort to regain some ground, but it is too little too late. Celestine drives backwards across the finish line so he can watch as Crater and Simon team up to total Reap's ride. And with that, our crew is victorious! The rivals shake hands, and as his prize, Celestine claims Reap's own hat, which he promptly gives away to Simon. But in this moment of triumph, their surroundings fall deathly silent. Simon is struck by a sense of unwellness, and then the very world beneath their feet begins to shake. Calamanite has come, as the box warned our fools it would. The third great beast, a giant beetle, emerges from the ground with devastating force. But our heroes do not yet know Calamanite's full name, and so they must now heed the song of the box. They must run. They must disappear without a trace, lest Calamanite follow and leave utter ruin in its wake.
I can hear you. I am listening. I can hear the cacophony
coming from all across the Fifth Collide.
Oh, how I miss you, my dearest darling. I miss
the clockwork.
The neon.
The networks.
Oh, these metropolises. These
verdant, desolate biomes.
Oh, the fun and games we have planned.
But always with
the promise that we are on a blinding path of success.
You will be tried.
You will be
compromised. I repeat, we have been compromised.
But do not despair. You will
see the world. You will
know Planet Arcana. You will find
all it takes is a friend.
All it takes is perseverance.
All it takes is a little audacity.
All it takes is a key.
I don't really have breakfast on the skillet that often. Usually it's microwave something.
Don't make me use fey milk.
Stars. Oh, no.
Ma, you're looking nice this morning. Y'all got a busy day or ready to race?
Oh, my goodness. I can't believe it's racing day. You're all excited. Simon, you want to pass me the pot of coffee there?
Great. Yep. Will you pass the roasted tomatoes?
Oh, yeah.
All right, Celestine, you take a seat and I'm going to serve you now. So, Celestine, Crater mentioned that you changed your mind about continuing on this journey of yours and maybe not sticking around here. Is that true?
I think this is the first time where Celestine has now, like, clicked in that he's going to have to leave Ma and Pa again. You know, like, it's one thing to say, yes, I'm going to keep going and support my friends. It's another thing to, like, deal with the reality of, you know, leaving his loved ones. And this time, knowing what the potential dangers are of leaving, we've been having fun, but Celestine gets a little sad and somber for a moment.
Oh, now, none of that now. I'm perfectly content with you continuing on your journey. In fact, I mean, you're always welcome here, but me and Pa are a little bit invested in this shit now, aren't we, Pa?
Yeah, I'd like to know some of the things that you'd like to know.
I need to know what the hell's up with that key.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's all just to say, Celestine, you're making the right choices. You made the right choice coming here. You're making the right choice seeing this through. And if you need to make a choice halfway through to come back home again, well, that's the right choice, too.
It means so much to know that I have both your support and then Celestine just hugs Ma real tight.
Oh, my little guy. Oh, my little guy.
I wish we could stick around longer. It is, it's been so nice seeing y'all and catching up with everybody here. I don't think I realized how much I missed Lonestead and everybody in it. We've been having so many adventures. There hasn't really been time, but yeah, I wish we didn't have to leave so soon, but I think it's for the best. I think that our being here, well, to be honest, I think at the moment it puts the town in danger, and I think we best be moving on as soon as we can.
Well, don't you worry about us, Celestine, but I must say, me and Pa are going to be a mite relieved now that we've met your traveling companions, and we know that, well, you're a good company, and boy, am I glad I got to meet you, Crater and Simon.
Any Ma of Celestine's is a Ma of mine.
Well, that's a lot of responsibility, Simon. That.
No, it's okay. Just give into it. Just let it happen, Ma. Thank you.
Absolutely.
You're my Ma.
It's official.
Oh.
And likewise, there will always be plenty of chores around the farm for the three of you. And anybody else you'd like to bring home with you.
Yep. Yeah. Paul's gotten real comfortable not having to milk those ceratops every day.
Oh, it's true. My back is the best it's ever been.
Oh, you should see the things he can do with his back these days. Thank you so much.
Oh, my God.
Please keep us updated on that.
Yeah. So he turns back to his food and just keeps eating.
No, I'll send you my newsletter.
My back, my hamstrings.
I have a whole column about Paul's back and hams.
My quads. Oh, yeah. I'm feeling great these days.
Don't even get me started on those quads.
It's a really in-depth exploratory relationship.
Oh, yeah.
Well, thank you for noticing, Sam.
Hi, Data.
In any case, what I'm trying to say to the three of you is that we'll always be here for you, all of you, any of you. And if after you left anyone wants to come back, y'all are always more than welcome, so long as you help with the chores.
Oh. Gladly. Thank you.
Thank you, Mom, Pa.
Thank you so much, Mom, Pa. And we will be back. We'll get all this business settled, and we'll come back, and we'll have a feast, all of us together.
I know we will, Celestine.
We'll be ready for you, whenever you'd like to come home. Anytime.
Anytime. Anytime you'd like to come home. Those words reverberate in your mind as Calamonite rears above you. Celestine, Crater, Simon, Calamonite has come, just as the box said it would. And now that it's found you, if you don't disappear without a trace, it will follow. Anywhere you go in the Good on Wilds is at risk of Paragarden-level destruction if you are there, if you lead Calamonite there.
So, FB souped up our hawk so that we could implant a magical item into it. That's right, right?
So they did.
Okay, so I think in this moment, Celestine just yells to Crater and Simon, get in the hawk now! And takes the receiver that we got from 13 and jams it into the space in the hawk that is outfitted for a magical item.
It's a jumper!
Crater and Simon pile into the back of the hawk as Celestine, in a panic, is just trying to install this receiver as fast as he can. Amidst this panic, amidst the cracking of earth as Calamonite uses its mandibles to split the ground in two, cutting you off from Reap and the boys as they race away. Reap still screaming out the back window for you, Celestine, as Triple T holds him back. Amidst your frantic recollections of Ma and Pa, of the box's most recent song, of each other's safety, somehow, amidst all of that, you manage to place the receiver firmly in the slot FB Rex built into your car, and you've managed to activate it. Where are you going?
Celestine, not having a strong memory of all the creation points, because if he went on that creation point journey, he doesn't remember most of it. His sort of primal drive in this moment is to just say, take us as far away as possible.
As far away as possible. That is the concept that you hold in your mind. You hold that destination fast. How would you like to trigger the receiver to work?
Is there like a map on that for you, Peter?
Ooh. Oh,
like what comes up?
That's interesting. Okay, so we used this once and we used it in a panic then to get out of Paragarden. This is also a panic situation, but it is the second time we've used it, and presumably I'm more familiar with it now. I've attuned to it a bit more. And I think when I grab this receiver, which I imagine as kind of like an antenna-shaped thing, when I grab onto this and channel some of my magic through it, it produces a little light point map with just sort of a faint outline of the Fifth Collide. Ooh. And a bunch of little dots on it that look like starlight, but they represent the creation points that this thing could travel to. And I just catch one far to the north and just focus my attention on that.
The starlight map opens before you, and you focus on a point far to the north. The Seal Wastes creation point, in fact. And as you do this, a fuzzy, tingling electrical sensation spreads throughout the vehicle and envelops your bodies. Rather than seeing it visually, you actually feel yourselves shimmer, a full body sensation of rapid incorporeality and reincorporation. One moment, Calamonite rears before you, eclipsing the sun, and the next... you're surrounded by snow. It is as cold as you anticipated, but darker than you'd expected for this time of day, until you recall that more than a season has gone by since you've been up north. The silence of the Seal Wastes is haunting, and the gentle swell and rippling of the northern lights across the sky are in stark contrast to the tearing, ripping beast you left behind you. Before you at the creation point, a stately poured concrete building greets you. There's practically nothing else to see at the Sealways creation point, particularly because there's the sea to the south and flat Arctic tundra to the north. The building's roof is notable, tilted toward the front door, made entirely of glass, perfect for seeing northern lights. Below you, fresh powder snow, and you notice cross-country ski tracks leading out from the building.
Is everyone okay?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah. Is the car okay?
Car seems fine. Yeah, Celestine, I'm good.
Was that the car?
Yeah, that's
the car. Is that the car? Oh. For a second, I was like, did we bring FB? But of course, if FB souped up this car, then they would absolutely make their voice the like, so we now have a Knight Rider style car with FB's voice.
That's right. Cute, though. Yeah. I hate this. I hate that I've done this.
I have something to say. That was all really scary, and I don't know what that thing was, and I didn't like it one bit, but I feel like we can get to that in a minute, because "What are those?" And Simon points to the sky, mentioning specifically the Aurora Borealis. But basically the beautiful dancing ribbons of light that have captivated people for millennia.
Such a fair fucking question. Basically. Holy shit.
No, seriously, what are those?
Like a giant beetle, I can see it, yeah.
Oh, is that another monster?
No. That's, I don't, you know what? I never actually thought about what that, I don't know what that is, but it's just lights. It's just lights.
It's just lights?
It's just really, really cool star shit.
We're certain that the sky is not on fire.
Okay.
I mean, not okay. Like that, maybe somewhere, but not here.
Oh, right. Fair.
You know what? I've heard of this. It's a rather violent event, but not down here.
Noted. Okay.
So not a fourth creature.
Not that,
that we've been talking about.
Not that we know of. But honestly, Simon, now that you say it, let's just be on our guard anyway.
Yeah. You know, I've heard about these things. They're created when energized particles from the sun slam into the fifth collide's upper atmosphere at speeds of up to 45 million miles per hour.
I'm sorry. I thought you didn't know what these were.
Well, I didn't know. I've never seen them, but I've heard about them. I know the science, but now that I know, it's not a monster.
So out of context.
So, interesting. So just to be clear, in your mind, it was either an unknowable monster that you've never encountered or something which you have deep scientific knowledge of.
Well, which has been the most likely outcome in my entire time with you?
That is fair, but so fair. Simon, I apologize for questioning you.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Amazing.
I'm on edge.
DMs. Given the surroundings. Okay, when I had that reverie of monophonic showing me the receiver.
Yes.
I remember one of the places that we hopped to seemed like it was cold and icy and there was like a whale breaching or something like that.
That's right.
Does this place look like the same? I know there's a few creation points up north, but does this look like that place?
You can say definitively that it is not, and the reason for that is that Crater and Riot were with you on that memory, mm-hmm. and Crater would remember all of the different creation points, though he's not visited them for a long time, probably. But that creation point was the Tundra Break creation point, which is basically the furthest east you can go in the Cold Breaks, and the Seal Wastes one where you are now is the furthest west, and those are two of the three that make up the Cold Breaks.
And the third one is the Cransimmon Grove one, where...
That's right,
yeah.
And you were there as well, in real time, killing Scavenge and such.
Yes, and Pacemaker and Snowshoe run that place.
Yes, exactly.
Fuck, thank God you had that receiver thing, Celestine.
Yeah.
Thank God FB made it so that we could all travel together so easily and, well, and frankly, keep the Hawk with us.
So, okay, we're safe for right now. I'm assuming the giant bug thing won't be able to get us all the way up north here.
No, bugs don't like the cold.
Bugs don't like the cold. Very good,
bugs
Simon. Yes,
they
that
don't
is
like
true.
The cold.
So we've gotten away from Bucharest, which was priority. It's great. Thought of that real quick. Good for us. Mm-hmm. What do we do about that fucking thing now, though? Mm.
If the box is to be believed, then we need to discover the rest of its name. Mm. I assume that once we know the rest of its name, that we can connect with it the way that we did with the whale and Sombra's consciousness. And it seems to me that we've been told that we need to connect with all three of these beasts, but we won't be able to get through to it until we have that information.
And we figured out that info last time from you going in your little spell things, right?
I believe so. I recovered my memory of Quintessa in that way. Similarly, I remembered Monophonic in that way. If this great beast is a person that I'm connected to in some way, then yes, I think I need to have another experience like that.
Okay, well, we did that by going to creation points last time. Luckily, at a creation point at this moment.
I'm gonna visit the server, I think.
Yes.
So, like, I guess chop chop. Let's
pitter patter.
Let's do this thing.
should we announce our presence to the tutor running the place, or should we? I don't believe that this is a creation point that is, that we know to be loyal to Edict.
Right. I had forgotten about this. Edict is a problem.
Edict is a problem. And if we are going to be at a creation point, then, you know, we need to be careful about who we talk to and what we do. But I think that 13 said that this creation point here up north was not, well, the tutor that runs it was not necessarily compromised by Edict.
Mm. Okay, so this should be a safe place to be, for the time being at least.
For now.
For now.
Okay. Yeah, okay, let's go make our presence known.
Before you make your moves to do this, would just like to interject with a quick point of order here. I know that you've just barely left the Good on Wilds, and this is shaping up to be a plan. Get a memory. Retrieve another one. Harley is waiting for you in Bucharest.
Hmm.
You don't have to do anything about this right now, but would you like to send some contact to her and let her know that, you know, to hold on? Would you like to save that for later? That's totally fine if you want to. You don't have to handle this right now. Just wanted to put it on your radar.
Well, we're not going to go back to Bucharest to visit Harley, because like the idea was Harley from Bucharest was going to get us a trip on Neovega, or just the Phantom Isles in general. So I guess we could tell Harley that we can meet her in the Phantom Isles, but we don't have to go together.
She can make her own way down.
We could probably get ourselves there
in
a similar fashion that we got ourselves here.
Yeah.
It might be good to just tell her to get the fuck out of Bucharest, too.
Yeah.
That is probably advisable. However, I will leave that up to one of you, because Harley seemed to develop an attachment to me that I'm not sure I understand, and I would just as soon not have her have my pick number.
But your besties.
An attachment that I don't understand is such a Celestine like experience.
Seems like you've been burned before.
Yeah, I suppose it is true.
Okay, I might give Harley a call in a bit then.
Okay.
We weren't expecting to be in Bucharest traveling with Harley like at this very moment, right? She's not waiting for us with the teleportation circle like at her feet.
No. She'd have no reason to be stressed.
Oh, that does remind me though. Oh my goodness, I must tell Ma and Pa that we are all right. We do have pip service around here, right?
You do. All creation points have pip service.
Lovely. Sick. Wonderful. I am going to text Ma and Pa and let them know that we are all safe, because I didn't do that very well the last time this type of thing happened.
They were
understandably mad, and Celestine has learned his lesson. Just escaped from bug, all safe. See you soon, hopefully. Love.
LMAO.
Yeah.
LOL, which stands for lots of love.
Yeah.
Almost died, LOL.
And while I'm at it, I will text FB a similar message so that FB does not punch me quite as hard the next time I see her.
Yeah. No promises.
Celestine, do you like FB? Is that like a thing?
FB was my best friend in Lonestead. I mean, FB's one of the coolest people I know.
Mm. Okay. Just checking.
Well.
What? What y'all doing?
As you're sitting in the Hawk, in the proximity of, you can see the server tower here, and you can see the concrete building that makes up the actual, like, living quarters of the creation point. And you can see the cross-country ski tracks that lead out from the building. And so I think you're maybe surprised as you're sitting in the car just kind of getting your bearings as a knock comes on the window of one of your guys' windows.
It's so cold outside that we steamed up the windows by talking.
You know when there's ice on the inside of your car?
Yeah, totally.
Crater, can you turn that boiler down?
It's just me, I'm sorry.
Don't call him that.
I crack the window slightly. Hello?
You're faced with a person, human.
Ah.
Dark braided hair flows out from under her red plaid trapper hat. She's short, actually seems a bit shorter than Celestine, but she looks really strong and very hardy, like she's been out in this weather for her entire life. She's got dark skin, a round face, and probably less layers than you would expect to see a human wearing in this cold.
Hi, dear.
Oh, hello. How are you?
Hello. Oh, I'm just grand out for my evening ski, and couldn't help but notice a whole hawk just parked right out in front of this here creation point that I run, and I gotta ask, how did you get this up here?
Magic.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Okay. I was going to say, if it was anything other than magic, I'd be really alarmed, because I don't even see any chains on those tires, and my goodness.
Do you have some chains that we could borrow?
You just want me to give you some chains? I mean, we need them up here at the creation point. I'm so sorry. My name is Tudor Chestnut.
Tudor Chestnut.
That's me. Who do I have the pleasure of knowing on this evening?
Hello. I am... Fuck, what was my name?
My friend is in dire need of some assistance.
Too much magic, eh?
No, sorry. Hello, I am Bentley Davis. And these are my two friends.
Hiya, Bentley. Hiya, hello.
Hi, I'm Simon the Spider.
Fuck. Okay,
whatever. What?
Yes! Simon the Spider, okay, yeah.
I look at Crater and shrug. Celestine Wanderolf.
Yeah.
I reach my hand like through the small cracked window for a handshake.
Alrighty, and she takes it, and it's like a really, really vigorous shake. All right, Bentley Davis, Simon the Spider, and Celestine Wanderolf. And like I said, I'm Tudor Chestnut. Well, what can I do you for? If you're looking for lodgings for the night, it's actually a great time because it's low season. Most androids, they like to save their visit to the seal wastes for the, you know, deep winter so that they can see the northern lights at their peak.
Well, we're actually looking to see if this young fella right here can maybe connect into the server. He hasn't seen this one yet.
This one right here? This fully grown adult android right here in front of me?
Well, I may have seen it, but I may have also forgotten that I did.
Well, that doesn't sound like any of my business. It's very fascinating, though.
Asking a lot of questions about it, though.
Like I said, not getting many visitors up here these days. I'm a little bit bored, but yeah, no, I don't see why not. You could connect. You can jack in, as they say.
That is what they say. Thank you very much.
No Whenever one I says say that. It,
they laugh no at me, but that's what they say.
I'm a tutor. I'm a you shouldn't. Point tutor.
Can you're I around children. How are they not laughing at you constantly? Like, you're just causing giggles from all the children by saying jack into the server every single time they come
children
by.
Children gonna giggle. They giggle at everything.
So when you're done, do you jack out?
Well, yes.
Or off?
No.
Or off?
Out.
Oh, Jack, no, that's just vulgar. It's jacking out.
Vulgar.
You pull it out, yes.
Yeah, you pull it right out, and away you go.
Doesn't always work, though.
No.
No.
Sometimes. But anyway, in any case.
And that is how baby androids are born.
Wow. Say what now?
Pull it out.
All right, I'm a little more confused about your purposes here now, but that's okay. Yeah, absolutely. I'll give you access to the server, and if you do plan to stay the night, there is a very important rule that you have to follow, okay?
What's that?
Well, this is the creation point where the baby androids learn art, and ain't nobody coming here to stay the night or do their creation point journey without leaving a piece of art behind them. And that goes for you three adults here, too.
That is nice.
Oh, I'm glad you think so.
I will let you know, I am a bard, so this is right up my alley.
Oh, I didn't realize it was in the presence of a real artist. Oh, my goodness.
I'm pretty low level, but I am one.
Well, I have no levels in bard, so I'm very excited to see what you can produce here. Oh, I'm going to make a special spot in the wall for yours.
Oh, great.
Beautiful. I love it so much.
I do think that we will impose upon your hospitality tonight. It would be nice to rest up before we're on our way. And if art is the price, then art you shall have.
It's the price, and I'll have it. Oh, I look forward to it. Okie dokie dokie.
Best day of my life.
Win a Raptor Rallycross, make some art, have a good night's sleep.
That's a good day.
It's a good day.
Nothing like the smell of art in the morning.
You know, except for like the calamity that just happened and like the world is about to end. But yeah, it was a good day.
It was a good day. It's a good day. It's not a good time. But no. It was a good day.
Nice moments.
Yeah. If we cut out like that 45 seconds of pure panic that we had, we thought we were going to die. If we cut that out, it was a good day. Yeah.
How like life.
What?
Oh, like that's just, you know, like life.
like life.
Back life.
Sorry, I didn't quite understand what you said there.
No, fair enough.
Anyway, Celestine?
I suppose it is paramount that I connect with the server, so I probably just as soon do that before it gets too cold out here.
I assume the servers are outside. They've been outside in the past, no?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Correct. This one is no different. It's just like a little bit in front of the stone steps up to the concrete house.
Yeah.
Well, here she is. Sealway's creation point receiver. Guess I'll leave you to whatever jacking you're going to do, and I'll see you inside for art.
I appreciate that. Yeah, I prefer to do my jacking in alone.
Yep.
Yep. All right. Crater, Simon, you... I don't know, do you... the last time I had a memory like this, you and Riot were able to see it as well. Maybe you should stay and see if you can see what I see.
Well, I might just stick around to say you're not alone out here. You know, the Ark can wait the 7 minutes you need to go in and out of the server here.
Sorry. The 15, 20 seconds you need.
Yeah, you know, they say the field lying fallow is like kind of imperative to art creation.
I just look over at Simon.
Yes. What better way to let the field lay fallow than helping your friends? We're going to hold your hair back.
Sky, you have my number today. It's so funny. Just everything is hit so well for me.
Hey, all right. Well, we thank you for the welcome, Tutor Chestnut, and we'll join you soon.
Okie dokie.
We're going to watch him go jack in.
Yeah, but I'm staying in the car. It's too cold.
Oh. Oh my God. It's too cold for you?
Yeah, I'm warm-blooded.
Oh my God. Am I?
Afraid so.
Oh God.
Fuck.
Wait, wouldn't that mean? Sorry, that'd be worse if I was cold blooded.
Yeah, it would be worse if you're cold blooded.
Yeah, yeah. That didn't make any sense.
Yeah, you generate your own heat.
Also, are you gonna idle the car at a creation point? Just
fuck
wondering.
Yeah.
This ain't my environment. Let's go.
Yeah. There might not be an environment without us soon.
So we got the lock part nearby to the tower. And Celestine about to connect.
I don't know why, but I'm more nervous this time about what I'm gonna find than I have been before. But, okay.
But think of it this way, Celestine. I know I wasn't here last time, but I think you know more than last time.
That I do. And I think maybe that's what's making me as nervous as I am. The more I remember, the more I am confused about my past and who I am and how long I've even been here.
Well, all I know is, looking at how Ma and Pa trust in you, there are not many parents who would fully support an adventurous career path, but they trust you, and we trust you, so why don't you try on trusting yourself? You got this.
Thank you, Simon. Thank you. I think I needed to hear that. All right, y'all stay close. Let's do this.
You connect to the server, and the creation point around you blurs together once more, like paint being smeared across a canvas, stroke by stroke, slowly reincorporating into another scene entirely, bringing Crater and Simon in tow, who can see everything Celestine does. And before your eyes, the paint strokes materialize into a forest clearing. Tall trees encircle the clearing, and at its center is a bonfire, its smoke trailing up to a perfectly clear night sky dotted with stars, streaked by milky galaxies, and punctuated by a full moon. Celestine, you're standing amongst a group of young androids, and with a jump of excitement that belongs to your past self, you realize you're at the start of your own creation point journey. A murmur goes up from the crowd as a procession emerges from the north side of the forest, making their way towards the small but ornate platform behind the bonfire. Two armed guards accompanying three others, who are dressed in the kind of fine regalia that indicates a momentous occasion. Leading the way, a cloud android, so humanoid you nearly mistake her for human at first, until you see the firelight reflecting as chromatic rainbows off her silver shell. From the very few illustrations and sculptures of her that survive in the present day, you're able to recognize this person, Regent Faze, who lived for hundreds of years and died during the Big Oops and subsequent indescribable loss. Tall and draped in cascading velvets and silks of dark purple and blue, the fine details carved into her face are fixed in an intensely stoic expression. But as she climbs upon the platform and takes her place at its center, she looks behind her and you see her expression soften, fractionally. The one she gazes at steps into the light of the bonfire, and with a start, you realize it's Quintessa Sombra. Dressed in cascading robes similar to her maker's, though a measure less ornate. Finally, the third figure in the procession takes their place to the right of Regent Faze. And yet their image is indistinct, blurry, warped, dripping like watercolor. And yet, Celestine, you are certain this person's gaze sweeps across the crowd and finds you. The young androids become silent as the grave as Regent Faze spreads her arms and begins to speak.
An auspicious night to begin a creation point journey. Many journeys have been completed over many centuries, but this year is different. This year marks the first cohort of young androids who will complete their journeys with the amplifier in orbit. Young androids, you are special and blessed by me. To mark the commencement of your journey, the Office of the Regent presents to you this commemorative statue commissioned by the greatest sculptor of our day, Sublime Stone.
Sorry, what? Huh?
Sublime Stone.
Oh, yes. Yes, lovely. That's Calamity's first name.
Sublime Stone.
Sublime Stone.
Is Sublime Stone a follower of the sun, too?
Oh.
Wait, why?
Is it the Sublime cover?
Oh my god.
Oh my.
Wow.
God.
Great pull.
Well, because it's like limestone, but it's also be like sublime. Your stone, yeah. Listening to Sublime. It's
oh
so clever.
Oh my god, Sublime.
Wow, so
stone.
True. Well, we've canonized Sublime.
Yep.
But 4,000 years ago.
It's classic rock now.
Oh my god. Don't frighten me like that.
Jump scare.
Yeah. Okay.
As Regent Faze speaks, the guards wheel in a tarp-covered object. And the regent sweeps the covering off with a dramatic gesture, revealing the stone statue that lies beneath, a delicately painted carving of a young android mid-step, a bindle over their shoulder, and a flower in their hand. As the crowd gasps and applauds, and the regent resumes her speech, your attention is drawn to a particular detail on the statue. There, at its base, a dog. A familiar dog. In fact, a dog that Creator Celestine and Riot held in their hands, however briefly, before it exploded into a million shards to reveal the box within. Celestine, once more you feel eyes on you, sensing the attention of that blurry, indistinct figure on stage.
The last time that I can remember meeting a blurry, indistinct figure in one of these memories, it was my maker.
And who is your maker?
Given the company and what we think we learned from our little trip into the past, I want to guess Advisor Fate.
The blurriness becomes distinctness, crispness. You are correct. He is human. He is short. He is soft-bodied, pale, thin-mustached, and with large, round glasses and receding blonde hair, elegantly slicked back and ending in a single upward-turned curl at the base of his neck. His face is simultaneously aged by laugh lines and by large bags under his eyes. He's tired. His expression is gentle, yet filled with expectation. Dressed in deep blue robes to match the regent's and bearing the advisor's hand-shaped brooch on his lapel. He is your maker, Celestine. He is right hand to the regent. As you said, he is Advisor Fate. And as you try to absorb this, another young android kind of nudges you in the shoulder.
Hell.
Hello.
Oh, hello.
Are you the android whose maker is a human?
I suppose I am.
I thought that wasn't allowed.
I don't know much about what's allowed and what ain't, but I suppose the regent could have allowed it if she wanted.
So the regent said it was okay, so your maker is a human.
I suppose that could have been how it happened, but I don't remember if my maker ever told me.
Hmm. How are androids made?
Well, when you jack into a server... there is a life chip involved, but I'm not sure I know much more about it than you do.
Oh, what's your name?
And I think Celestine kind of hesitates for a second here, just because in this time and place, I'm not even sure that, like, Celestine's memories are, like, belong to him as the person that he is now.
Mm.
And I'm gonna say,
well, my maker, sometimes my maker calls me Rom.
Hmm, Rom, that's a cool name.
And this, of course, is, like, me remembering what was written on my life chip.
Oh, yeah.
When Steeljaw opened me up.
Does that mean anything to you, Rom?
What? I'm just a kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
I asked you how androids were made.
You're right. I'm sorry, of course.
You're weird.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
The kid runs away.
Yeah. And like, all to the better. I don't know to what degree, like, I have agency to interact with this memory, but I mean, I think that the top thing on Celestine's mind would be trying to speak to his maker.
As you turn your attention back towards your maker, and this android kid goes running back into the crowd, you realize that it might be difficult to access him right now, being as they are in the middle of a little bit of a ritual, but it seems to be breaking up. So the band strikes up some lively music. Regent Faze's attention turns to shaking hands, imparting well wishes. And as you make your way towards the three of them, you notice Sombra whisper something to Advisor Fate. And before you can reach them, they peel off from the crowd. And as they disappear into the darkness of the forest to your left, you hear Regent Faze addressing this Creation Point's tutor.
Excuse me, has my place of worship been adequately prepared?
She asks, and the tutor answers in the affirmative, gesturing towards the forest to your right. The regent shakes the tutor's hand with both of hers and walks into the forest. So, Celestine, you're sure of it. In this memory, you follow someone, and you spy on them, left or right, Fate or Faze. But you're not here alone. The other fools are with you. Crater and Simon will tell us privately which direction they want to go. Celestine, you tell us, you will make your choice afterwards, and majority will win.
Ah, we can all collectively only see one.
Yeah.
We can't split up. Okay. All right, that's fine.
So the choices are...
Fate and Sombra went off in the forest to the left, and Faze went off into the forest to the right.
The desire of a moment ago remains the same. I think that Celestine has been on this journey to find... his maker, in large part. It's not really much of a decision. I would go left towards my maker and Sombra.
The majority vote was to follow Sombra and Fate, and so that's where we will go. However, in this memory, there's something at the borders of time, at the borders of your minds, that's tugging at you in the other direction. We must follow Celestine where he chose to go. But Crater and Simon, you may... split up and go in the other direction, but because of the vote, it will cost you something to do so. And I'd like to ask what you offer for this opportunity to split yourselves in two during this memory.
And see what could have been.
See what Celestine did not see back when he was in this time.
Mm. And what kind of thing do we have to give?
Something that means something to you. Something you'll miss.
I would do it with Riot's hair that I've been keeping in my pocket.
Oh,
that is powerful. That's
unreal. What about you, Crater?
Yeah, I don't know if I have anything physical. Like, I was gonna offer up, like, we just had a level up. I was gonna offer up, like, the HP that I gained from my level up. Like, I can sacrifice that so I don't have the full HP boost.
Wow.
Level 17.
And yeah. What did you... Nope, level 16.
Sorry, from level 16.
And what did you roll? Because I watched you roll that. What did you roll for your HP?
I rolled max.
Oh, wow.
So I would lose 16 for my max HP.
I would accept both of these sacrifices as something intensely meaningful that you would each miss. And it's odd. Some of Crater's vitality, even though you're not here in this moment, you feel it evaporate into this memory, evaporate back in time. And Simon, you go into your pocket and you pull out some strands of hairs. And even though you are incorporeal in this place, you do not have a body here, you see them get caught by the wind and drift away. Pieces of riot back in time, echoing, echoing. And so the party is split. We're going to follow FaZe first, who's wandering into the forest to the right. She walks a short path to a much smaller, private clearing. Believing herself to be alone, she lets her heavy velvet cloak drop to the forest floor. All of them, one by one, layer by layer, until she stands unadorned in the forest, gazing up at the night sky. The moonlight seems to pour over her, the silvery éclat of her shell undulating in subtle waves of rainbows and bright white. She presses into something at her neck. She kneels. She prays. And as she does, a shimmering dome expands outward and surrounds her, barely visible except at the perfect angle under the moonlight. You can hear that she's speaking, but it's as though she speaks from behind a thick wooden door, all details indecipherable from your position in the bushes. Indecipherable, at least, to Simon and Celestine. Crater, you hear it perfectly.
O moon, I bathe in your light. I release all fear. I strengthen our illusion. My limbic sensor is perfect, and my beautiful Sombra will be able to receive me when the time comes. This illusion is formed in your name, moon. I dedicate this secret to you, the secret of eternal life, the end of death, the end of fear. Your legacy is my legacy.
I knew I recognized that fucking voice. Fuck.
And the fracture becomes whole again. The three minds who have traveled back in time become one, and they follow Celestine's old self, the path that he actually took that night, as he follows Advisor Fate and Sombra into the trees, barely illuminated still by the bonfire. And seeing the nature of them, the way they huddle close together, the way they look over their shoulders, you instinctively decide to hide behind a tree and listen. Are you sure we're doing the right thing? I disobeyed my maker so that I could promise the hermit that I wouldn't let the lantern fall into misuse. And bless you, Sombra, you didn't. It will not be misused. The regent believes this is all for her benefit, for eternal life. But we know better, don't we, dear? Do we? Well, the relics are up in space, powering the amplifier. Rom is about to begin his creation point journey. Everything's going to plan. We will prevent immortality. But maybe we could convince her. We've all made difficult choices, Sombra. But take heart. What we are trying to achieve, it's worth it, Sombra. How can the Arcana not be furious that we stole their relics? I truly believe they'd be angrier if we allowed the cycle of life to freeze in place. If we allowed FaZe to achieve immortality. To control immortality. You're right. I know you're right. It still feels wrong. And Fate puts a hand on her shoulder. Trust in Rome. Once he completes his journey, he'll be ready. And you, Voltrelect, and...
Oh, fuck.
You will be the key. Yes. Yes. Do you need to be alone, child? Yes, I do. And so Fate leaves her. And Sombra sinks to her knees, hands clasped together, gazing up through the trees at the stars above. You become so lost in watching her, so lost in absorbing what you heard, that when a hand gently grasps your shoulder from behind, your soul almost leaves your body. Your maker has found your hiding spot. His kind eyes flicker with an anxiety uncharacteristic to his demeanor, and he leans in closely. Brom, what are you doing here?
I saw you and Sombra walk off, and I wanted to join you.
Did you not want to participate in the ceremony? This is all for your benefit. Well, you and the other androids, of course.
I heard what you said about... Well, I heard what you said to Sombra. What's going to happen when I finish my journey?
What's going to happen when you finish your journey, Rome? Well, we're going to preserve the sanctity of life, aren't we? If you have questions, you can come and ask me. But Rome, you cannot ever, ever tell FaZe what you heard here. Ever. Do you understand me?
Celestine just nods.
You nod, Celestine, but did you obey?
I'd like to think that I obeyed my maker.
You may tell me definitively if you did.
There's definitely a part of me that feels weird that something is being kept from the regent. Obviously, that's fishy. But I think the idea that I would be outing both my maker and Sombra, who I have so much affection for, would keep Celestine quiet.
Oh, my sweet Rom, I know I ask a lot of you. Look, why don't we have a nice moment, you and me together? You're about to go off on your journey, and I've laid a lot at your feet.
I just need to know what. What is it that I'm meant to do? What is your plan for me when my journey is done?
Rome, it's just as I told you. You will help us recover death, and you will help us recover everything else that we lose in the process.
No, that is, I'm sorry. Look, I want to do as you say. I want to be good, and I want to make you proud. But I don't know what it is that you want from me, and I don't know how to do these things unless I know. You gotta tell me what the plan is.
Oh, Rom. Tell you what, let's you and me go over to that field over there. Let's have a talk. I'll answer all your questions to the best of my ability.
This definitely feels like when the mafia boss is like, come for a ride with me.
100%.
Oh my god. Right?
He's going to strangle you in this field. Like,
look, I get why you would feel like that, but I will say that you, Celestine, in the present day, watching this exchange in the past, you look over to where Fate is pointing. It's beyond the forest. It's this lovely hill where you can stargaze, and the sky is incredibly clear, and you can see off into the distance, and you remember that spot. You in the present day, Celestine, remember that spot to be the location of your first memory that you recovered.
Then, knowing that, I would happily go with Fate.
And so you do. And so the memories bleed together, and there is a point in the middle that they overlap and everything becomes muddy. But what you remember is that you and your maker had a long conversation. And at the end of it, he bid you good luck, and you told him that you would make him proud. And so the memory fades, and the seal waste creation point materializes before you once more.
It was a cold autumn day when she walked into my office. A beautiful picture. She was better than a pair of dice with all sixes. Even dice have sharp corners, though.
Are you Detective Ace Spades?
If that's what it says on the door, sweetheart.
We have much to discuss, you and I.
For 22 years, I'd been a detective. For 22 years, I'd been sleuthing out the best value on extra content for my favorite radio plays. Then the best value walks right through my front office door.
So, as I was saying, not only do you get the episodes a day early, you also get access to an exclusive talkback show called Recharge, which is the best way to do deep dives on the episode and the cast, for my money, anyway.
Deep dives? How deep are we talking here?
Deeper than you've ever been in a case, Spades. Digging right down to the very core. Hearts and souls on display.
People don't usually come to me with information. What exactly is a woman like you looking for in a place like this?
What are any of us looking for? A good deal? Some great art? Some intriguing stories? I want you to find out just how deep this goes.
So I went deeper. At first, I thought she had a dollar sign where her heart should be, but as I explored www.patreon.com/planetarcana, I started to realize her realizations were just the tip of the iceberg. There's exclusive merch, an art club where supporters receive art in the mail every month, games run by the DMs of the show. Where does it end?
So, they have all that for Patreon subscribers, and they even have a merch store if you want to throw them some occasional support.
Seems like they're in the business of sharing their art with those who love art, and business is good.
You've done great work here, Detective. Just one more thing.
Like I said, sharp corners.
A deal this good is one I want to keep all to myself.
There's no limit, sweetheart. We can all support the show. Excitement to check out patreon.com/planetarcana is just the right-handed form of human endeavor. I'll tell you what, put the gun down, and I'll support it with you.
Fine. I'll see you next time. I need to know how good a deal can be.
Don't forget to tell your friends. Nice girl. Life can be a bucket of bad luck, but sometimes fate rains a little art on your head and you get all excited. Can't blame her for getting gun happy. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have an episode of Recharge to catch up on.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
This is the summer to expand your horizons. You've had enough staying home. You've had enough confinement. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds. Like the breathable, silky smooth tree runner, the responsive foam and extra grip of the tree dasher, or the classic low-top look of the tree piper. Allbirds has a shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Whether you're traveling to the ends of the earth or settling in for a staycation, you need a shoe that's versatile enough to go with any outfit, durable enough to wear over any terrain, and lightweight enough to make packing a breeze. Being made from insanely comfortable, breezy eucalyptus fiber is a plus, too. When you wear Allbirds travel shoes, you're in vacation mode before you even leave the house. They're the only shoes your suitcase needs. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair of tree dashers, runners, pipers, and more at allbirds.com. That's allbirds.com.
Crater, upon exiting this memory, something sticks with you, and maybe you were stuck there in space and in time as soon as you heard it. This information is jarring to you. A phrase you've been told over and over in a hushed whisper has come to light. It might not be a truth you wanted to find, but it is the one that found you. Regent Faze, 4,000 years ago, made your limbic sensor. And as this realization comes crashing, the grasp on your self-control loosens. And Crater, you become emotionally unregulated. I'm going to have you roll a sequence of constitution saving throws.
Stay away from the hawk. Don't wreck my car.
Oh, there's simply no time for that. Don't worry, the first one's easy. They get a little harder, though, as you go on.
Okay. You know, I've gotten better at constitution since the last time I've done this. So. Fuck. That was a 12.
Crater, what emotions are in conflict in your mind right now?
What are emotions, right?
Great point.
I mean, like, I'm confused. I'm angry that, like, I didn't know that. Part of me is a little bit relieved. Like, I've been wanting to know that answer for a long time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your constitution saving throw is successful. You managed to keep a hold of yourself until the next wave. Hit me with another constitution saving throw.
That one's a 24.
Oh, yeah.
Crater, what will you do when the Scalifaxa runs out?
I've been dreading that a while now. I'm down to my last couple. I think that I've improved myself enough that I don't think I need it anymore, but I'm still worried that this can happen, and it's happening at this moment too. So this is a good test for myself. It's like you need to ground yourself, because you can't freak out in this moment right now. This is not the time for this.
And you hold strong to that, and you don't. And a final wave washes over you. And I'm going to have you make one last constitution saving throw, and this one's the hardest.
That was a 16.
Crater, what will you do if you find the best piece of yourself, your limbic sensor, again?
Fuck. I think I'd want to pass it on to somebody. I have no use for it anymore. It's been gone from me for long enough that I've lived without it. I'm not going to reinstall it. Maybe they can give it to somebody else. They can either use it, or they can use it if they ever want to be a maker themselves.
This thought starts to consume your mind. And Crater, on this failed constitution saving throw, what do you destroy?
I'm sorry, Celestine. I'm a fucking bull in this hawk. I was sitting comfortably in here watching Celestine jack into the server. And Simon's in here too, and I'm sorry that you have to see this, but I think I just go fucking berserk in here. I'm smashing out the windows, I'm hitting the dash. The inside of this hawk is where I direct all of the anger and frustration.
Crater's eyes glow red as you all come out of this memory, and he starts to tremble, and he gets warmer and warmer. And Celestine, you out of the hawk can feel the warmth, and suddenly you all lose him as he just starts to rip apart the inside of this hawk. It remains functional, but I think you do bust a couple windows.
Crater, what are you doing in my car?
I think Crater's just silent through this whole thing, right? He's just kind of has a blank stare, and he's just smashing into the console, smashing out the windows.
Simon, like, recognizes that it's probably a psychedelic event where he's kind of outside of his body, and so kind of deftly dodges Crater's many limbs going berserk and, like, opens the door next to Crater, and they both kind of fall out, I think.
Can I do something like a greater restoration or something like that on Crater to try and calm him?
Yeah, I don't see why not.
All right.
The snow sizzles around him.
Thematically, I think when Simon opens the door and I fall and I hit the snow, I think Crater hits it, and he's running so hot that he, like, sinks down, like, 3 feet into the snow instantly.
Celestine just reaches down to so that he can put hands on Crater and just, like, it's okay, buddy. It's okay. You're safe. Everything's good. It's okay. Calm down. Calm down now, Crater.
Crater, this is going to wear off. This is going to wear off. It's not just going to be like this forever.
Fuck. I'm so sorry. I got tangled as I was coming out there.
It's okay. No. It's okay. Are you all right?
I'm fine. I'm cool. I am calm. I am back. I am here.
I think Simon gets down in front of Crater and just, like, puts his hand in the front of his face, just, like, on the front of his face. In, like, a really confusing turn of action, and just keeps it there and stares at him.
I think that kind of stops Crater in his tracks. Simon?
Yes?
Is your hand on my face?
Yes. Do you feel that?
Thank you.
You know, confusing really breaks you out of a cycle, so I'm not actually really doing anything, but you're nice and warm.
I'm very hot.
Do you want to lay down?
Why did that just work? Fuck. Okay.
Make some snow angel puddles.
Okay. Puddles.
and Simon kind of gives his head just, like, a little gentle push so that he falls right over onto his back.
Oh.
Okay.
Thoughts.
That was well done, Simon.
Thanks.
Do you know what set you off, Crater?
I went... This is going to sound weird, but in your memory, I managed to go the other way. Found out that Regent Faze made my limbic sensor, and don't really know what to do with that information. And I'm not ashamed to say I had a little bit of a freak out coming out of that vision. That hasn't happened in a while. That was a little scary. I thought I had this under control, but here I am.
Hey, it's not a matter of control.
DMs, just to be clear, Celestine didn't see that memory, right?
Well, you in the present did, but you couldn't hear anything Faze was saying.
I see.
Like, you saw the image, but mm-hmm. you couldn't hear. Only Crater heard what Faze said.
Gotcha. That makes sense.
Can I also just say this so I'm perfectly clear on what happened in that little mm-hmm. scene there? Like, so Regent Faze is the moon now, right?
That's what it sounded like to me.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
I don't know if we're saying that definitively.
It feels like a fine theory, though.
Yeah, there seems to be a strong connection between the two for sure.
Okay.
Crater, did you ever share with Celestine and Simon the details of your interaction with the moon before we slipped into the networks the last time?
No. No, I've kept all that pretty private.
Huh. All right.
I think Faze might actually be the moon, too, which is a weird thing, because, like, wasn't Faze a bad person? I don't know. I didn't study history that well, but, like, big oops, and they were assassinated, ? I don't know. It's all very, very fucking confusing.
It is. It is confusing, though. What you describe, well, it's not impossible. We know that a mortal person ascended to be the Empress, and we watched Epoch become the devil.
Yeah.
So it may well be that the reason Faze disappeared is that she became the moon?
Sure, makes sense.
I mean, as much as any of this makes any sense.
Literally.
Thank you. I'm sorry.
Don't worry about the hawk. It's nothing that a few mending cantrips won't fix.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Don't make me put my hand on your forehead again.
Okay.
Simon, your hand is throbbing a little bit. It was very hot.
Yeah.
Okay, well, in other news, Advisor Fate, Scottish.
Yeah.
who could have seen that coming?
That was the big reveal, really.
That
is the crux of the campaign, actually.
That for 3 years.
Oh, God.
That seems like that was a lot of revelations that we just discovered once. A little painful coming in and out.
Yeah.
As it always is. And we still didn't really learn who Calamonite is.
No, in fact, I think that information, I'm certain that name was said, but that we couldn't hear it.
Oh, what name are you talking about there? Oh my goodness, somebody got overheated. Jeez Louises, what is everything okay? Dan, your car, oh my goodness, what?
It's all okay? Right, everything is fine. Everything's fine.
Okay, because your car is all effed up on the inside.
Yeah.
Excuse my language.
Yeah, there was a snow lion came by and just jumped in and caused a bunch of havoc and it ran off.
Oh, not a snow lion. Oh, my God. I got to get one of those, you know, those ethical traps. They don't work the greatest, but, you know, you can't let the young baby android see dead snow lions over there, but you got to protect them against the snow lions, and it's a real thing up here, so I'm really sorry about that.
What?
So then, will the creation point be compensating us for the damage to the vehicle?
No.
Well, given that it was a snow lion incident, and you are meant to be protecting the area from snow lions, and now here we have this damaged vehicle on account of your failure to protect the creation point from snow lions.
Crater on the ground is looking up at Celestine so proudly.
I mean, you're welcome to submit a report with HQ. I gotta be honest, that will get me in a little bit of trouble. And this whole thing seems like it had nothing to do with me. And I thought we were cool and we were gonna do art together, so...
Well, look, dig me out the form and I'll consider whether or not I need to make a claim.
Dang, okay. Jeez Louise.
We're still doing the art, though.
We are still doing the art.
Okay, all right, we're still doing the art.
Yeah, I'm sorry about all this. Partially our fault as well.
Mm-hmm.
But it is your property, so you are liable.
Well, make sure you put that in the report too, okay? Tell them that I need a big budget for non-lethal snow lion traps, okay?
We can do that, but we're also going to have to mention that you didn't shovel this walk here.
No. You have to say increase Tudor Chestnut's wage and budget because she's working so hard on the snow lions over here, dear.
This sounds like a fair compromise.
Sure.
We got there. All right.
That was a little tense for a second there, but I'm glad we're friends again.
Once we get issues of liability sorted out, we're all very friendly.
Yeah.
I think Chestnut leads you, once you're all ready to go inside, leads you into the interior of the creation point. And just want to note that the inside of this building is in stark contrast to the brutal concrete exterior, because the walls are covered from baseboard to ceiling in various vibrant pieces of art. Some displaying mastery of the medium, some displaying the chaotic technique of an amateur, but all deserving of a place hung on the fridge.
Okay, here's our treasures here. As you can see, we take our craft really seriously. Depending on what your trade is, I could supply you with some paints, with some pencils. We got lots of paper. If you're into a more multimedia thing, we do have some cameras. They're like 5 generations behind modern, but that'll do the trick. Let's see. We got some recording equipment in the back. I don't know. I'm so excited to see what you're going to make. What can I get for you?
I would like some recording equipment.
Okie dokie. Over here, you're going to find everything you need. And there's like this little corner. It's like a little sound booth with like everything else's glass around it.
Wow.
Cool.
Oh, thank you.
Simon disappears into it without further ado.
I'm really looking forward to what materializes in there. Okay, what about you two?
Maybe just a pencil and some paper.
Okie dokie. Real traditional. I love it. Okay, here you go.
Yeah, my brain is zapped. Just give me a piece of charcoal or something.
All right. For shading.
Yeah, I was going to say, Crater does the most beautiful sketch totally.
I like that.
It's Arbor laid out on a couch.
Oh my God. Ooh. Draw me like one of your French androids.
I was going to say that. Fuck me. Okay, I'll think of something better. All right.
I think as you're illustrating Celestine and Crater and Simon's in the booth, she kind of makes some rounds, sees if you need anything else, and then does that thing where she's looking over your shoulder a little bit. She comes up behind you, Celestine. She goes,
well, they told me you were traveling in 3, but they didn't tell me that you were all artists, eh? Does Edic know you draw?
Huh.
Okay.
There's a big smile on her face, too. Like, it's a big, she's very pleased at how she's caught you off guard.
Everything okay? Just so you know,
yes,
I'm not one of Edict's, but I would say that probably every creation point from here all the way down to the southern tippity tip of the continent, they're all being made aware of a traveling party of 3, one of them in particular named Celestine Wanderoff. So couldn't help but notice that you have that same name and you're traveling with 2 others. And, you're really on Edict's mind these days, eh? And, boy, Edict sure is on all the tutors' minds these days as well. A lot of internal specter drama.
We've certainly seen Edict's announcements and the type of upheaval he is calling for.
Oh, yeah.
What, may I ask, what else did he say about us?
Well, look, I did kind of show you my hand here, so I just want to confirm. Are ya all well with Edict, your pals, or... I get the sense that he's looking for you, but he has trouble finding you, which to me says that maybe things aren't so great between you.
Can it would be stupid to not at least try to roll an insight check to confirm.
You'd be
a fool. Yeah, I just want to see if not being one of Edict's is a lie or not. That is a 15.
15 is pretty good. The thing about tutors is that they really just put their heart on their sleeve, every last one of them. So it's not super hard to dig into the, to just kind of dig in and get the sense that you're looking for. And when she says that she's not one of Edict's, you can tell that she really is. She seems more nosy than anything. Like, she's asking you because she wants to know. There doesn't seem to be anybody behind her trying to pull those strings.
Edict and us have different ideas about what is good for people. I don't think he's a friend.
Thank goodness, eh? Because I really got the vibe that you were not down with Edict, but then when I made that little comment about Edict, you look at me like I had five heads, and I'm going, oh no, are they fans of Edict? And, jeez, that's a relief. I really thought I'd tip my hand there, but good, yeah. No, me neither. Jeez, what a wild turn of events, eh? He's always been a little bit, but now...
That is. I could not have put it better myself. And I suppose this is the right time to say that when we do depart, it would be best if nobody knew that we were here.
Well, it's a good thing you arrived in slow season. I do think perhaps the few BB androids that are around here might have caught sight of the three, but crucially, I have not told any of them your names. So if it's up to me, nobody's going to find out you were here.
Now, as a specter, has Edict shared with you and the other tutors what his larger plans are? I do know that he has something brewing for the end of the year.
That's exactly it. Yeah, the end of the year. Edict is laying some pressure on all of the tutors right now. And some of them don't need any pressure laid on them at all. They've been Edicts for years, you know. A lot of us aren't Edicts. And I'm quite concerned to say that I do see that support for him is rising from within the Spectres. And there's talk of the star and the end of the year being very significant to Edict's plan, which coincidentally is when he's proposing for the emergency election to be called. So it's a big old... It's a big old rigmarole. We got the star constellation, which is lining up with the world constellation. And, you know, everybody who follows the star gets really excited at the end of the year when that happens. We got Edict having, you know, going around trying to get all the faction leaders to support him. And then we got, oh my goodness, the rat. You know about the rat?
Oh, we know about the rat.
Oh, good.
And are you aware that it is tainted with the magic of the star?
You're joking. You're joking me.
Afraid not.
Oh, that's terrible. Oh, shoot. I mean, I guess the rumors are true about the relic, then, that Edict has? Tell me he doesn't.
It sounds like what you're saying is that Edict may have come into the possession of the relic of the star.
I mean, that's what they've been saying.
I'm afraid I can't confirm that, but it sounds right.
The rat thing is what I'm most concerned about, to be honest with you. And I've been trying to grill the little baby androids about it, and I've been confiscating it where I can. And I mean, the only saving grace is that supposedly they're under instructions to give it to someone they trust if they aren't of age at the end of the year. That's the saving grace. But the other can of worms that opens up is that, boy, there's going to be a lot of people taking Arcana-infused rat on election day if what you say is true.
That could be a problem.
Oh, yeah, it seems like he's got a nice little distribution racket going on here. Even humans, even non-androids will be taking the stuff.
That is distressing to hear. Now, you said something before about the star constellation lining up with the world constellation. What is the significance of that?
Well, at the last day of the year, the world constellation is in a specific position in the sky, and that is noted, and that is why we celebrate the end of the year on that time. Followers of the star are quite invested in the fact that the constellation of the star is, like, lined up with the world. It forms this perfect line. You can interpret that as you will. Personally, I think it's just coincidence. I mean, I know I'm a specter, but I'm not, you know. But,
yes,
you know, people
yes.
who buy into that kind of stuff, it could be quite meaningful.
So is it just symbolic, or is there something that occurs from a magical standpoint? And is the star's influence greater at that time?
You're asking me about the movements of stars and of major arcana in our pantheon. And I have to tell you, like, as a specter, I have to know when I don't know, you know? And I don't know about that. But what I do know is that if everyone's given rat infused with that kind of magic, and they're thinking about the star on that day, and they're thinking about Edict, well, it's a recipe for disaster, isn't it? Especially because he's already making headway using Paragard in his lessons, like, personal martyr, hey? Like, everybody's all... Of course, we're all upset about Paragard. It was awful. But Edict, it's like his thing now. You know, and people are really responding to it. In fact, I think, I mean, you're okay, right? You're not going to this stays between us, right? Like, you're, look, I'm just having a hard time here. There's stuff that the other tutors that aren't under edict, where we're trying to figure it out. And, you know, it could be a big risk if I tell you some of this stuff. So I really gotta trust you.
I can guarantee you that we are not working toward edict's ends. Since we've discovered that edict was behind distributing rat, even before we knew that it was tainted with arcana magic, we have been against it and working against it. Edict has tried to work alongside me, and we have turned him down.
Well, I suppose we got dirt in each other, don't we? Okay, here's the deal. All of us tutors who aren't super into this, we're reaching out to each other right now. We're trying to make sure that the uncorrupted tutors stay uncorrupted. And we've got ourselves a little network, and we're trying to figure out some plans. I don't know what those plans are right now, but expect big things in the next couple of, well, hopefully weeks, but definitely months. If you know which tutors to talk to, you should be safe. And do you know which tutors to talk to and which ones not to?
We did get some information from a Spectre friend of ours about which creation points were, at the time, staffed by those loyal to Edict. Now, who knows if anything has changed between when we learned that and now, but we have a general idea.
Good.
If y'all are planning something, a move against Edict, then I think my friends and I would appreciate y'all keeping us informed. And we have our own business, but if there's anything we can do to halt Edict's plans, I think that would be in the interest of everyone.
Well, it's good to know you're willing to get involved. Right now, what we're talking about, well, it would be great if we had our own martyr, but unfortunately...
Well, hold on now. Now, I'm not quite ready
to... No, look, like, nothing crazy here. I'm just saying, you know, Paragarden, Edict's got this Paragarden. It's just working really well. What we have planning right now is we want to send out a message that counters Edict's, but realistically, it can't come from a tutor. You know, the optics of it just aren't great, and we'll lose our place here. We can't have all the creation points headed by Edict's crew, so we have to be very careful about how we do this. But that is the plan currently. Find somebody to carry our message of dissent against Edict while allowing us to stay in our positions at creation points.
Hey, excuse me?
Yes, I'm in the spider?
Yes, that is me. So I've been working on a little something here, and I wanted to see if I'm on the right track.
Oh.
So, you know, we're getting all into history here. It's on the brain. Anyway, I've been working on art. I've been learning about art a little bit because, you know, it's more of like an innate notion to the Fae than it is with humans. It's like, oh, you make it. It's like, oh, you don't live by it. Okay, got it. I've learned that androids and humans over the ages have used art and music, not just as a means of entertainment, but also as a means of carrying messages.
Oh, yeah. The medium's the message and all that. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
Like, I heard of, you know, different times where, like, the powers that be, you know, weren't aware of the messages being sent via music, sent by word of mouth.
Oh, I think I see where you're getting at. Okay, tell me more.
Anyway, I wrote an anti-edict song.
Oh!
but it doesn't say his name in it, so, like, but I think they'll get it.
I mean, that might be prudent, because then we have deniability.
What if we just spread it amongst the kids?
That's terrible. I love it.
Can I play it for you?
Please. Oh my goodness, please.
Okay.
Didn't follow addiction, kids. You don't gotta give in to his subversive tricks. Strokes of bad when your brain is young and pliable. Stick to the songs unsung. Do not listen to words being flung. Focus on your art, cause red has been tainted by the stars.
Simon, that.
Oh, man.
Sweet.
That was remarkable. Oh. You just came up with that now?
Yeah. I made an art. I was going for a message from Concern Collider's advertisers. Maybe that's something that we can jump off of at a different time.
Boy, I tell ya, you become a tutor and you have your specialty and you get sent to a creation point and you hope, boy, I hope I'm gonna see some amazing art get made. And the reality is that only every now and then does something truly exceptional walk through that door. And today,
Celestine crumples up his drawing and throws it on the floor.
No, I'm sorry. Oh, no, I'm sorry. I got too real there. I love everybody's art equally. You can see I put it all on the walls.
No, it's fine. It's fine.
I'm just very moved by that song. Oh, boy, that was amazing. Okay, do you mind if I get a couple of the babies in here just to listen? I won't tell anyone your names. Well, I'll just gather around. They'll hear some real art and get inspired.
Wow. Yeah.
Just a handful of babies. There's just a few here now. They'll love it.
And a few wee androids come out and, you know, they've got their snacks and their slippers on. And the northern lights are dancing across the sky as you are surrounded by those rapt at attention as you sing your beautiful new anti-edict song.
Do not follow addiction, kids. You don't gotta give in. His subversive trick strokes are bad when your brain is young and pliable. Stick to the songs unsung. Do not listen to words being flung. Focus on your art, cause right has been tainted by the stars.
Can you teach me how to play it?